Lowe's Simple has kind of stayed the same kind of person. Well,
and Lowe's, you know, I didn't really know him when he was younger. You know, I kind of knew his parents, and you know, I'm really appreciating Lowe lately because he's an optimist. He's decided he's going to be an optimist, and he's going to enjoy life here. And it's so refreshing. I've got to say, so refreshing when, you know, it's so easy to fall into that whole, you know, the dark nostalgia, you know, regrets.
Well, the battle, you know, everybody, the battle that everybody seems to be fighting on social media, it seems like, is the fact that it's inevitable. Change is always around. You know, it's like I was just saying to Amy, my wife, is that, you know, the change that's going on in Aspen, it's here.
It's everywhere.
In too.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's just very different. And Aspen is so small and such an interesting little place that it's not, the changes I see in Portland are big and cultural, and Aspen being so small, it's like you can see it more. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But, well, also, like, one guy comes in and farts and the whole town freaks out about it, right?
Exactly.
And
that's like,
and you know what's even worse is Telluride. Like, you got a Telluride, and in 20 minutes you feel like you've seen everybody in town.
Yeah.
And you know what, you know, it's so tiny that we're actually a little bit luckier. But everybody here is really passionate, and you know, as we've seen lately, I'm in the middle of all that. You know, you get people who are just, you know, you can't imagine the crazies that come in and do public comment at our meetings on any topic you can imagine. There's like the big ones, like the airport and the housing and all that stuff. But then there are people who walk in and just riff on, you know, vaping, you know, why are we letting people vape in bars or something, you know? And it's just like, God, you know, I guess it's good to have passionate people here.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of the 90s when they outlawed smoking at the bars. And I think it was Hunter Thompson said, smoke weed, the fine is cheaper or something like that.
Right. Yeah. The fine's low.
Or they'd go to the Redstone Castle to smoke. And, because there's only one cop up there, you know, once a day or something.
Right.
You know? It's still part of Pickens County, but it's, you know, it's
right.
It's way
right.
out there.
Yes.
But I think the question earlier was, you know, what's this all about? This just the idea for the podcast is kind of based on the old the Stube table, you know, the joiners table around there, and I've seen them elsewhere too. We go down to see my dad in Fruita now, and you'll go to a breakfast place, and there'll be an old timers table, you know,
little
farmers and miners and stuff just sitting around. And
that's,
you know, right now, since it's off season and the airport's closed because they're ripping up the pavement, so it's shut down, and the town's really, it's not as quiet as, it's not like off season in the old days. There's still cars on the highway, but there's only like one coffee shop open, and that's at the base of the gondola. You know, Gorsuch House has a cafe. And you go in there and you see the old guys sitting around the table. Like, I can go and I see Hans Rieger will be there every day after I walk in. He's sitting there, you know, and people come and hang out. And, you know, it's like, it's funny. Off season, one cafe open and you start seeing everybody you know because they all show up.
Yeah.
We still have that. Yeah, it still happens here.
And
well, I think in terms of the optimism, you know, I've had to think about it for a while because when I left, it was, you know, due to a number of factors, mostly financial, you know, growing up, getting kicked out of the nest, all that kind of stuff. But it was also a distaste for a lot of the newer folks that were coming there, you know. So not being there, it's really easy to kind of shit on the place. But, you know, I was thinking about it from your perspective in Lowe and everybody else who lives there. It's like, of course you're optimists, man. You got to be. You live there. You still want it to be good. Why wouldn't you? You know?
It's like, you know, I you're right on about that. And I was thinking when you said that, I was at an ACES event about 4 or 5 years ago with, I'll think of his name here, famous entomologist and writer, and you know, guy who's concerned about the future of the planet, who died a few years ago. Ed, goddamn, he's written all these books. You know, like he's like the Harvard professor. And I just said, hey, how do you manage to stay? I'll think of his name in a minute. You know, how do you manage to keep doing this? You know, it's like in the face of all these species decline and extinctions and, you know, environmental catastrophe, how do you manage to do it? He said, well, we have no choice but to be an optimist. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you know, he's right. You know, he's totally right. You can go down the rabbit hole, which is, it's just not, there's a whirlpool in there that's going to suck you down. And if you're going to try to accomplish something or make things better, or reverse, you know, all these things, like he, you know, what he was writing about, you have no choice but to be an optimist. I take that to heart. I think that's one of my favorite, you know, thoughts from one of these big thinkers that I was so much fun to bump into him because, you know, I knew who he was. I'd read his books and turned my kids on to him and all that. And then there he was, and I had a chance to talk to him. That was the message. You have no choice but to be an optimist.
I feel like lately, the big thing I've been learning is about perspective and the lack of. And the trick is that to have as many perspectives as possible. So when you're looking at a situation, you're not just looking at it in this tunnel box and everybody, all those people, why is this? Why is that? It's because they're in this tunnel vision and they're not looking at the whole perspective. And you being a commissioner, it's interesting because you're doing this song and dance thing where you kind of have to deal with all the different people, everyone.
You're in the in the fishbowl, as our manager says. We're in the fishbowl. Everybody's looking at us all the time. There's nothing private about our lives, you know. And we're available all the time for criticism or anything else. And you get used to it. And you're right. We get that all the time. And part of it is realizing most people, you're right, have blinders and they don't see the big picture. And a lot of them don't really want to. The first reaction I see to any new idea is often, how do we shoot the legs out of it, under it, before it has a chance to grow? And I see it's happened so many times now that when I'm running meetings and things, I'll announce at the beginning, it's like, first of all, there are no bad ideas, and no one dares in my meeting try to kill something before we've heard what it's about and contemplated it. And I realized I don't usually get mad in public, but those are the few times I've just gotten really pissed off. It's like, you know what? You can't kill an idea, even if, you know, maybe you don't understand it, but and you realize that, see that on social media also, whether it's come electric vehicles, you look at the pushback on electric vehicles or the pushback on electrification or any new thought that comes along. Taylor Swift, you know, everybody's going to hate on her until maybe they decide she's about, you know, you just think, wow, that's the initial reaction, is to diss something. Is that some sort of instinctual self-preservation mechanism? I don't know.
I think it's the easy excuse. I think it's the easiest thing to outburst and let out is anger and hatred. And I feel like the ability to think about it takes a little bit of process. For the person, you know, the surfer dude that's sitting back, kind of like waiting for the right situation to come in. And I feel like that's sort of the difference. And, you know,
well, it's a whole judgment thing too. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's the, like you said before, it's the total anti-change, you know. Mm-hmm. Anybody has a new idea or anybody has a new concept. Man, that's not like anything we've ever done before, you know?
Right, yeah, and it's fear. Instantly, fear comes up. What could go wrong, right?
But as the saying goes, you know, the train's coming either way. You can either be on it or you can be under it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's like, I like that. That's like my poster. I keep talking about making a poster. I don't really need to, but I kind of want to. And that one of the quotes is, if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu. And that's like, either you're,
I like
you're,
it.
Either you're riding the train or you're under it.